Hey, everybody. Hi. Welcome to the Auntie Hour. And today I'd like to welcome Miss April Jones to the show. Miss Jones's life experience deeply reflects our theme for this season, which is perseverance. Welcome to the Auntie Hour, Miss April. And before I forget, the tagline for our show is, this is our time. That's right. So whatever you're doing, whoever's in the room, this is time for us ladies to speak and to talk and to bond. How you doing, Miss April? Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Auntie Hour. And thank you for agreeing to be a part of this experience. I was introduced to you by my cousin, Hai Jin, who told me a little bit about you. And I was like, wow, she sounds like an incredible person. We need her on the Auntie Hour. So let's start with talking about your life experience. We're going to talk about some of the challenges that you faced as a younger person, and then move through some of the other things. I really want to spend a little bit of time talking about the domestic violence situation that you survived to help some of our viewers out there who may be going through something similar. So tell me a little bit about where you grew up and about your life as a child.
Well, I grew up in New Jersey as a foster child. I didn't know my parents at all. And through the foster care system, I seemed like I was limited in whatever I was doing. So, you know, as I grew older, you know, I had a child. And first time college in my family. And it was very hard. It was very hard. It was like I was challenged from the application to accepting my graduation certificate. It was just so complicated at times, you know, because you was pointed at, like, you're not going to make it, like, you're not going to make it. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like every time they pointed that you're not going to make it, mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to make it. I don't care what they say. And when I tell you, it was so excruciating hard. When I met your cousin, I was riding my 10-speed bike to school every day because I could not afford to pay car fare, but I was determined to finish college. And it was a challenge because I had just been released from jail and trying to go to college. Oh, my God. How is she in here, you know? And then what killed me was when you do the application for it, it asks, was you in foster care? I was struck by that. Like, why is they asking that? You know, why is that on the application at all? But I just went past it and persevered and went on mm-hmm. with filling out the application. And I got in. And that was the best thing ever because education was my way out of the foster care system. You know, I didn't care what they was like pointing. You're not going to make it. You know, right. It's this. And I was like, you got the wrong young lady here. So I was determined to make it, but I didn't go started college early, stopped because of, you know, family matters. And I had got involved with a gentleman who was abusive to me and didn't want me to go to school.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I couldn't understand that. Why you don't want us to better things, baby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to get into that. We know why that happened now, right? Let's back up a little bit. So you entered the foster care system at what age?
At 2 years old, 2.5.
So from the very beginning, you were in the foster care system. Yes. And you were living in different homes, or were you placed in one place, and were you one of the fortunate people that got the opportunity to stay in one home, or I don't know, fortunate is the right word, or were you going to different homes? Because you mentioned your family. So they were members of your family that you were still in contact with while you were in the foster care system?
Well, I came along the family members a little later on because something had happened in one of the care homes with me. So I was in three different ones. I went into, you know, a spiral of anger. And mm-hmm. I started fighting and stuff like that. So I was in a disciplinary home at one time. Mm-hmm. And I got out of that. But it seemed like once I was trying to go back, get my education and stuff, that disciplinary thing hurt me the worst. Not so much, you know, because I was a foster care child, but I was a foster care child with a disciplinary mark with me. And uh-huh. that can hold you back the worst, you know. But I was like, nothing's holding me back. And I just kept on going. You know, I started at Glassboro State College and got my associates, and I ended at the College of New Rochelle and with my bachelor's degree. And I thought I was putting my degree up here because I'm very excited about it. And I have a few citations because of the work that I do. Yes, I've always been one to try to help people. Even though I didn't have anything myself, I don't know why everybody said, how are you helping somebody? You ain't got a pot to, you know what, and throw it out. And I was like, no, I can help somebody, you know. And it turned out I helped a lot of women. And some I didn't even know I was helping. And I was like, how am I helping these women? And, you know, like, to me, I structured myself. I didn't have the structure, you know, because, like, I was like in the homes and I took what I needed, but I was a lot of things was going on. It would take a much longer show to go into it.
Right.
But a lot of things was going on, and you know, I could have went either way. I did get into some things, but I had the courage and the will to pull myself out. Right. When I seen it wasn't working, I got to go. You know.
Let's talk about this gentleman that did not want you to go to college in the first place.
Yes. Don't make me laugh. I have learned some things. I kind of shook when you said it, but I was like young. You know, mm-hmm. and when you're young, you know, and then here's someone coming along. They seem like they got it all together. He was an engineer. He had it all together. He had a job. He had more than me. I was in school. And I was trying, and I had a young child, you know. So my thing was, I had came dependent on him providing. That's the one that'll get you. Because he provided so well. I was like, I'm not leaving him. Mm-hmm. And when the abuse started, I kind of overlooked it. Oh, well, he's just going through something. You know, I made excuses.
Right.
On why I was getting knocked around. You know, silly me. But I had to learn, you know, all that looks good ain't good. You know, mm-hmm. and that's what I found out. He did not want me to go to school. He did not want me to advance because of the fear that I would move away from him. Because right. I was young and he was older, and I didn't see the demographics. I didn't even know what demographics meant then.
Right.
And so I was very naive, and I stayed till he beat me and beat me and beat me and would humiliate me in the street. He would do so much.
Oh my
goodness. And come to the school. And you ain't no good.
And when you were in college?
I was in college. He would come to the school.
He would come up to your college while you were in school.
To the college while I was with the girls. Because they, you know, he was like, they don't even know who they with. You know, like, you ain't even on their level. You know, like, just to belittle me as much as he could. But that browbeating got inside of me. And I was like, well, I never had nobody. But maybe it's he right. You know, I started, like, going through it with myself, but I was busting A's in college. I had job offers before I even finished college, but I still couldn't see my way that I was acceptable to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like trying to satisfy someone that was no satisfaction for him. The satisfaction for him was to beat me down. And as much as I kept coming up, he kept trying to beat me down. And I kept saying, this ain't going to happen. But it took a while. It took 3 years.
3 years.
3 years.
You mentioned something that seems to be talked about a lot nowadays, and that is the older man and the younger woman, and why older men pursue younger women in the first place. And people seem to think that this is a new topic that people have been talking about. Men that they just look for women who are impressionable, who they can mold, who they can control. And in your case, using financial stability or stability, a home that you could call your own, knowing your history, knowing that you had been in foster care, taking advantage of your vulnerabilities, this is his method of controlling you. And, well, it didn't work, clearly. It didn't work.
No, it didn't work. But, you know, it's funny. It's like they search us out. They search us because it's like once you've been abused, I don't care. They can smell it, I think. I really do. Because after a while, because if they beat you down, your self-esteem down so much, and it's like when you walk outside, it's like all those type of men start coming your way. And I had to just no man at all. No man, get with April, get with me, you know, get with God, and stop being so dependent on somebody else's income, you know, the sugar daddy thing, you know, and what kills me is like my girlfriends in my college, oh girl, yeah, I see you got him, he gives you everything, but behind them closed doors, he was giving me HD. And I couldn't tell nobody about that.
Right.
I had to keep that facade that them diamonds was there and that car was there, you know. I couldn't let them know that that man was beating the crap out of me at night and making me do things I didn't want to do, you know. You can't tell that, you know, because it's like social time now. You're in the limelight in school. Nobody knows you're being abused with this man. How you going to tell them that, you know? And it was times where he was angry because of his sexuality. He was taking medication and his thing.
So wait, let's back up. So wait a minute.
He was taking that out on me.
Oh, so because he could not function. He was angry with you.
With me.
And would beat you.
Yes. That's why I wasn't allowed out. I was always, you're looking at somebody, somebody's at that school that you're seeing and this and that, because he had problems. And I mean, I'm young. I don't understand none of that. You know, I didn't understand. And it wasn't, I never said no. Okay. I never didn't know how to say no, because he just kept on giving me things I never had. I was a foster child.
Right.
You know, I was wearing shoes that was too small for me. Okay. I got 10 coins. But that's another story. But right. I'm like, he provided shoes that fit, flashy clothes. At that time, it was like the bamboo earrings with your name in them. I had to have them.
Right.
I was young, you know. But the price I paid, you know, I was isolated from family. You know, that's one of the first things they start doing, the isolation part. You don't even notice it.
Right. You know?
And then it's like he got you all to yourself, slap when he want, punch when he want, you know. But when he gets to the kicking part, you know it's time to get going.
Right. So what was the true final wake-up call for you with that situation? When did you say, you know what, peace out, I'm leaving?
Well, the final thing was I came home and he had someone else in the house in our bed. And I came in nicely, you know, and I'm like, why is this, like, you know, what's going on? You need to go in the room and be quiet. Because he was going to do that with me right there in the apartment. That was the last straw. I felt no worth.
Right.
For you to put that in my face like that. I already was being beat down, like couldn't go out, timed when I came home from school or if I was working. And when I seen that, I just snapped. I really snapped. And I was like, you know wow. what? It's not happening today. And I chased both of them out the house. And he called the police.
He called the police on you.
And that was the first time ever I had any kind of police running. He called the police on me. And as it was, because I never reported any of the abuse.
Right.
I went to jail.
You went, what?
I was arrested for menacing assault and, what was it? Menacing assault and disorderly conduct. And yeah, I was arrested, but he came and got me. He came and got me, but I was arrested. And that taught me a lesson. That's when I said, no more of this. And I started really looking into how much I was involved in a domestic violence relationship and being violenced every day, not even realizing through the mental, through the physical, mental, and every which way you could think, it was there. You know, even with my preference of what we did in our bedroom, I didn't like this, I didn't like that. No, you're going to do it, you know. And I never said nothing the whole time until he had me arrested. And when I came out, I had to go back there. He right. came and got me. But I made a plan. And this is what I tell my women friends now. That
yes, please.
Make a plan. Get your bag together. That's what I call it. Get your little clothes in, your little toiletry, your little change. Get mm-hmm. your bag together. Because when that day comes, you know it's it. You're out that door.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. You'll take EAU. You'll take the emergency assistance programs. Do what you got to do, but get away from it. Because, like, I look at myself. I see the scars on my face, you know, my teeth. I didn't want to do interviews and stuff because my teeth were knocked out. You know, I was ashamed of my facial looks. I was ashamed of myself.
Right.
And then I was like, I ain't got to be ashamed of this. He right. needs to be ashamed. He, you know, I had to flip that feeling because I was feeling bad. I was feeling worthless. I didn't think nobody would want me. Right now, I don't even care. I'm into my own thing.
Exactly.
And I'm loving it. I'm loving the freedom mm-hmm. of being able to walk in and out my door. I don't care when, what time, what hour.
Right.
You know, I'm able to study freely. You know, he would interfere with that. I wrote a book and, at the time I was writing it, he was interfering. You know, he did not like the idea. I wanted to advance.
Right.
That was it, you know, and then he stopped, you know. It was just something.
You know, you stunned me. I couldn't even speak after you said that you were arrested.
Yeah.
I really was stunned silent. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah.
That was a little bit much.
Yeah.
So the first step you say is make a plan. If
right.
you're in this type of situation where you're in a domestic violence situation, make a plan is step one. What would you say would be the next thing? Because like you said, a lot of times these abusers don't want you to work. They don't want you to advance. So if you make an attempt to do that, what ends up happening is that you end up getting beat worse when you try to do better for yourself. What would you say is a safe way for a woman to try to get out of this type of situation without getting hurt or killed even?
It's not easy. It's very hard. But like I said, make a bag, right? And how you do that is when he's at work, you start making your bag. It's a little carry tote bag. Okay. If you have children, you have them make their little bag and you have it in the back of the closet. And when that day comes, after you just know you can't take no more, you walk out that door with them bags and you keep on going and you don't look back. There's so many services right now that help women. Back in the day, it wasn't as many services. Now they have little codes. You can go into certain bars and put up and say certain words to the bartenders, and they'll get you help. You know, it wasn't like it was back then when right. I was like in the '80s and nineties.
Right.
We didn't have help. We sat there and we went through it because we had our children. We only had one child, but I didn't want my child to go through nothing. I didn't want to be homeless, you mm-hmm. know. When I said I didn't care about exactly as long as I made it, as long as me and my child was whole and living, because I didn't want it to spill off onto my child. She was a girl child. Girl children shouldn't see that, because then they'll think if they get comfortable with it, and then when their men come along, when their time, they think it's okay. I didn't want that for my baby.
And so, boy children think that that's how they're supposed to interact with women when they see it.
Yes. So it's like a lot of people can be affected by it if you don't make kind of positive moves, you know. I'm proud that I made that move today. I packed that bag. And after I came out of jail, you know, and then we had one more running after that, and I fought back. And it was funny because he was like,
Wow.
Oh, to my shock. I was like, oh, you must have been abused when you was a kid. Then I left. But that time I didn't go to jail. I had to get my lick in, you know. But
I'm glad that you did. If that brought you some peace.
Yes, and I had to get some peace. So I went to the EAU. I was in the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to start all over again, you know, in the shelter with nothing, sitting in green chairs. But it was okay. I had a bag. I had a chair. I had my child. I had my sanity. That was so much to me. And through that, I start meeting people that was going through the same thing. And the silence of it all, I'll tell anybody that's going through it, don't be silent. Get somebody. Tell somebody that you trust. You know, because you might not have the strength yourself. They might can pull you and get you out of it, you know. And that's what happened with me. I found people and I left. I had the courage to leave because it's hard to leave. Yeah. Your money be good. Rent pay, you ain't got to worry about it. You got a car, you ain't worrying about it. It's easy to fall into it. Hard to get out.
Right.
So that bag is like a refuge. You know, if you got that bag packed, I don't care. Grab it and run as fast as you can. Get away, you know? And that's what I did. And I'm glad I did, because look at me, child. Ooh.
Look at you. That's right. Look at you. So
at 59, I feel truly blessed, you know. And you know, I don't do a lot of smiling. Like I said, my teeth is messed up, and then I'm scared of dentists. I ain't get them fixed. But it's okay today. I'm still here. And all I can say is, if you're in an abusive relationship, if you're young, it's too much life out here to go through that. Get your bag together. Okay? Mm-hmm. Get that bag ready.
Y'all hear that? Get that bag. Get that
bag ready.
Let me ask you. So you finished school.
Mm-hmm.
What did you end up doing? What did you study?
Well, I studied psychology. Because, see, I want to know what make these, you know what, tick. I wanted to know, honey. And, you know, I wanted to know how I could reach more people, you know, with, because I have a funny way about me. A lot of people on site, oh, my God, I get it. I catch it. But then I have a way of, I needed to know how to communicate. You know, I was a mess. But I'm glad that, you know, through my trials and tribulations, I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about integrity, friendship. You know, you're not going to come along people that's always going to be, like, really good for your lifestyle or your life, period. You know, I had to learn how to differentiate people in my life and allowing who gets close and who don't. Because once people see that you've been abused or in child care, you're a target to some people because they feel so you're weak and you're going to just comply. I'm not the compliant person today. You know? I like my life today. I like my freedom. and I love me today. You can't just put something in my face and say trash. No. Right. I'm gonna analyze it. I'm gonna find out, you know, more about it. Even with people, you got to find out more. Surface is not all, especially with these men. They say a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's what they are.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. So you are a psychologist. What are you doing that? Psychology.
Teacher. I teach. In between classrooms, you know, I teach. I'm a science teacher. I teach just about anything. I'm a writer, poet, grandmother, great-grandmother, you know.
You're a great-grandma?
A great-grandmother, three times. Ooh, yes.
Wow.
And right now, I don't know, my energy is helping a lot of other people. I'm helping people. I don't know how, just they, believe me, I go outside to my car sometimes. I got people walking, Miss April, you think you can help me do this or refer me for this? I don't have half the people on this block got jobs through me. And I'm okay with that, you know. So right now I'm in between,
yeah,
you know,
between,
yeah, I'm writing. I'm still making, I'm in the middle of a book, you know.
Speaking of book, tell us about the first book that you wrote.
A For Real Experience, not my best work, but it was my first work.
Right.
Okay. I don't care what it is in life you want to do, try it. And that's what I said when I was last. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to be in a play. I've been in a play. I was in The Wiz in Harlem. I was in Marcus Garvey. I've written my book, A For Real Experience.
Can people find it on
Amazon.
Okay. Real Experience.
Barnes and Noble.
Okay.
FAA, Real Experience.
Oh, fuck. Okay. A Real Experience.
Yeah. And I wrote it because of the abuse and the jail time I did. I went to jail, you know, for assault. You know, I got it cleaned up though, yo. I got it expunged. Them little incidents. And see, I didn't know then. He knew what he was doing for my career to have me arrested. Any type of arrest can harm you getting the perfect job. So I have to really admit that by me being arrested then, it's hurt me getting jobs. But I did 11 years with the Public Defender's Office. I did 9 years with the City of New York with Department of DCAS. Department of Citywide Administrative Services.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm also an ADA monitor with the Board of Elections. I help with the elections every year. Right now, in a project called Wheels Rolling to Educate, is a tutoring program that I'm hoping to get on board through the CEC, and we'll be going around to different neighborhoods that is needy, to you know, where a lot of people that's transient and all are coming in, and they need the extra help tutoring. A tutoring program that'll be mobile, and I'm working on that now. So really, like, I'm working, you know, I do freelance working, but I'm working on these projects in my new book, Inside the Wrong Shoes, and it's basically about abuse, being in a child care system, being abused in there. I was abused as well in the child care system, you know, but how you don't let it affect your whole being.
Right.
How you can still come out of all that and be somebody. What you want to be. Do what you want to do. Like now I'm traveling. Something I never did.
Right.
I'm doing things that I didn't do. You know. And when they say, what do you do professionally? Professionally, I'm a liaison to my people, to my community. They can knock on my door and need anything and I'm going to find it. I'm going to get it. I used to be the locator. If I ain't got it, I'm going to locate it. We're going to get it. That's right. And I'm grateful to be able to my God. I'm so grateful to my God to be able to help other women and men. I have a guy friend, you know, I won't say his name, but he's beautiful. And he was abused. He was being abused by his girlfriend. I wanted to jack her up myself, but I was like, I can't touch nobody else, you know.
I think that that's really important that you mention that, because people don't think that women are abusive to men.
Oh, very.
And men are ashamed also to come forward because of the way society says men aren't supposed to be getting abused and they are supposed to be able to do better for themselves. Yeah. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that and that you're helping him.
Yeah. He is so sweet. And I'm like, how can anybody abuse him? And you know, it kills me because we used to say back in the day, the good man always get the bad woman and the bad woman always get the good man. And I see it more and more with domestic violence people, you know. So I don't have like a 9-to-5, but I have a 24/7, okay? Because I'm 24/7. They call me at all hours of the night, and I'll answer and talk to them and even jump in my car, drive where they at, and we go have coffee. I have done that. I have gone, went into the mouth of it with the man sitting right there and the woman scared. I sit right there, right between them, you know, and we talk, you know. I just had a situation like that a couple of weeks ago. They just got married, you know, like it seemed like 6 to 8 months after the marriage, you find out who's true.
Who the person is. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he started the abusive stuff. So I went and I had a talk with them both and they're in counseling today. So that's good. If I can get you into counseling or separate you, one or the other, it's got to happen because abuse is not warranted. If you got to abuse them, leave them. Leave them. Just leave them alone. That's not love. Abuse is not love.
It sure isn't. But it can feel like it.
Child, yeah, it was so good at one time.
They will fit. People, I've been in situations where I've had people try to justify mistreating me as if it were for my own good and that I needed that help. I've been in situations like that, and sometimes that's how people present it. If you don't know any better, and like you said, they usually get you when you're younger or vulnerable. Sometimes as older people, we are in situations that leave us vulnerable. And when we're vulnerable, somebody can slip in there at the right moment and just throw you completely off base, throw you all off track.
Well, I see that lonely people fall into that trap too. Okay. Try to get with yourself, you know, because like I could be in a house all day long by me being a writer. And I have an extensive library. I like to read. Find you another peeve, you know, to get yourself involved in, because loneliness can get you in trouble.
So let's lighten it up a little bit. What do you like to do in your spare time for fun? What do you do for fun? You said you've been traveling. Where have you been?
Well, there's a few places. Like, you know, I like gambling. I'm a casino person. So Lang City, you know, I go to the casinos, been to the Poconos. We went to Florida, you know. There's a few things, places I never went. Because, like, when you have foster care and all you got is that 4x5 room or whatever, or you got 50 other kids in the room that's dealing, it's a big thing. You have nothing. You know, you're waiting for something. So when you do little things, it's a big thing, you know.
Right.
So just being able to have my freedom, have a car.
Right.
Is something for someone that came from nothing at all.
Yes.
Everything I had to get it from somebody. Okay. And it didn't matter what it was.
Right.
A shoe, a comb, deodorant, soap. I had to get it from somebody. I had nothing. I was a child. And then I came up as a child. And then once you're being abused in them places, don't think it's all sweet. I don't care. Okay. I try not to put a lot of dirt in that direction because we need that service, but that service need to be revamped. It's a lot going on in that that foster care system. And then you can't blame it on genealogy. You have to blame it on the circumstances the child is growing up in. How that child gonna come out? Well, my circumstances was determination. I was determined they weren't going to break me, you know. Those with that type of attitude will make it, you know.
I'm glad that you made it. I'm glad that we had a chance to meet.
Yes.
And had a chance to speak. And I thank you for spending some time with me today.
Thank you, Joanna.
And I really hope that if there's someone out there that is in the midst of a domestic violence situation, that you get the help that you need. Mm-hmm. And perhaps you could reach out to us here. You know, Miss April then says she's 24/7.
24/7.
You can reach out to us here at the Auntie Hour. Auntie Hour at jwomedia.com. Miss April, you have any contact information you want to share with the audience?
Well, you can reach out with me at therhythm59@gmail.com. Okay. Hashtag rhythm. On Facebook. What's that? I don't really like all those platforms. TikTok. Right. I know TikTok. What's the other one? It's one of them. But I'm out there. Okay, you can find me. Trust me, people walk up to me, I don't even know. I'd be like, okay, you found out about me from who? Okay. So I'm just Miss Jones. I'm out here. They call me Rhythm. You know, I'm a poet.
I'm going to put you on the spot then. You need to drop a poem for us now.
Oh, no. Check this out. I'm going to throw one real quick. If your feet could talk, if your feet could speak about the places you've been and the people you meet, you could tell a true story so real and unique. If your feet could just speak. Hey.
All right. Thank you so much, Miss April.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can reach the New York City Domestic Abuse Hotline at 800-799-7233.